thank every employee on behalf of everybody for his inspiring words. And I'm sure it touched all of us. Tisha B'Av, where we left, we'll be doing kinnis in Hashem HaKasyahu. For those of you who can get after it,
it's an unbelievable experience. And I believe we're left to be speaking in the first note this year at 4:15. What? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, and at Tisha B'Av. I assume the reporter will be doing kinnis in
Chal
Chasidim in Shari Chesed. I had discussed appearing for reporter in Muncie years ago. I'm sure now with the Dujan Ritzel, he can only get better. That's even possible. And since we feel leading from all of my God, you know, certainly it will be great because I'm grateful for the trip. So, those of you who can't get to one of those two locations will be doing in Har Nof what we usually do in the Beit Yerushalayim, the tail indication of what's being done in these locations. But if, whatever reason, you can't get there and you're stuck in Har Nof, so that will also be there. That will begin at 8 o'clock. Okay, those are our public service announcements. I want to point out somebody saw it in the Shmoneh Tone, three ads for three Shomer Halashon events that are taking place. They said the only thing I saw in common is that you're in all three of them. I said, you also forgot the Chofetz Chaim video. I want that one too. I said, this is absolutely amazing. They said to me, what is there about you and Shmoneh Halashon? He said, they're hoping I'll change. But I won't. Maybe, I don't know. I think the fourth one, I was telling over a story and I realized that it might be a little questionable. And I said, let me wait until after digital because I didn't want them to pull the video. So, you know, but Shmoneh Halashon is, of course, something that all of us struggle with. And that's the reason that we're here, you know? The truth of the matter is, I think that if we felt the sense of immediacy, I just heard the story, and unlike a reporter, neither do I check it out, neither do I get the name straight, neither do I remember anything. But Baruch Hashem, as my audience's age along with me, nobody remembers if I told the story, nobody remembers what I said, it doesn't really make a difference. But somebody was just, you know, I forget how the whole story goes, you know, but he asked the Rav, how do I keep my thoughts focused and not think about bad things? So he takes a goblet, fills it up with wine, he says, I want you to walk all through town and don't spill it up. Takes it, he walks up and down the street, up and down, this way, that way. He comes back, didn't spill a drop, puts it down on the table. It's unbelievable. How'd you do it? So I was paying attention to the cup. He says, did you see people who weren't doing the right things? No. He says, did you see people who weren't dressed properly? No. Did you see? No. So how did you not say anything? Because I was concentrating on the cup. He says, if you're concentrating on something really important, not spilling something, then you know what? It'll be a lot easier for you not to notice all the problems that are going on around you. Some people come in and they can walk into a room and right away see every problem. Every problem. I have to say, most of us are most critical when it comes to ourselves. You ever walk into a house where they just redid the kitchen? And you're walking, you're like, wow! Did that stop? Yeah, isn't it beautiful? See that tire? What about it? Don't you see it's like, well, oh, yeah, you're right. You play that with him, oh, I didn't even notice. You know? But they go, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize all the problems. Thanks for pointing it out. If the hem of your trousers ever comes down, I have to tell you, nobody would ever notice it. If it wasn't for the fact that you kept saying, did you notice the hem of my trousers came down? They're like, oh yeah, you're right, yeah. Did you see the stain on my shirt? Oh, I didn't know. Thanks for pointing it out. And slowly, we are not concentrating on what's really important. We concentrate instead on all of the things that are wrong and all of the problems and all of the different shortcomings. The truth is, we have to keep our eyes on all we know. As Toya pointed out, we could have a base of Mikdash. We could have a world that's perfect. A world that's perfect. But in order to do that, we have to really try to change. So obviously, there's a full court press to see our clients who are trying to get me on board, because I think if they can get me, then they've already hit the lowest common denominator. But that's not really the main reason that I'm there. It's because, you know, they understood from this event that I have become a professional Rabbi Leff introducer. And that's what I do now, you know? And so they said, you know, we're having the Lady Shmiras and Lashon, Rabbi Leff is speaking, I guess we have to get Orlovsky, because that's what he does. He introduces Rabbi Leff. So soon I'm going to be working on a thing where whenever Rabbi Leff travels, I will go and introduce him all around the world. Except that we were sitting at a Costco once, and Rabbi Leff told me that if he goes speaking, he doesn't charge. He doesn't want people to think that people might show up and come to America to take money. So he goes there and he gives out money. So if anybody wants to go to America and wait for Rabbi Leff comes, you might have a few bucks in it for yourself. But certainly the opportunity to be able to introduce Rabbi Leff is something that's really the only reason I agreed to do this thing is again. So because I'm tired of hearing about Shmiras and Lashon. And I'll tell you who really speaks Lashon on, because I know some people. Well, I can't end their names now. Film my video. But come back on too far, I'll tell you. But anyway, so before I make reference to the fact that this is Aaron HaKadosh, Aaron HaKohen, his yard site, which is my Alter Zeder, and it's a there's a obviously koach that Aaron had, Sifte Kohen, right? There's a special power that he had that Sholom and Ishi Ishto and Noma Chavera. How, as the Abbas Rabbi Yosef tells us, he knew what to say to each person, he knew what to bring them together, he knew the words, and koach and power. Says the Maharal, the Anani Akavod came in his chus. What do the Anani Akavod do? They surround Klai Yisrael and bring them all together. That's the koach that Aaron Kohen had. A friend of mine made a hajj years ago. And I guess I should give a postscript to this story. I'm not even mentioned. He said, I thought it was an unbelievable idea. And I say it over to the Moshe Shapiro, and he says, that's true, but you read Makor from one aspect of it. So I said, I don't. So I was telling it over, until he says to me, I found the Makor for it. So no, what if I should? No, I can say it over for sure. Yeah. Rashi says in several places that after Aaron HaKohen died, the Anani HaKavod went away. And the Jews were attacked. And the Jews were attacked. They went back 8 steps. 8 stops. And the Shevet Levi chased them. And they had a Mechala until they stopped by Israel. And they were able to bring them back. Forced them to get back and retrace their steps and continue the journey to Israel. So he says, you make a treasure. He chases them back 8 steps, and that brings us from the Chodesh Av to the 8th of Rav, which means that the actual Muhammad took place on Tisha B'Av. Once again, civil war. Once again, Jew against Jew. Once again, strife and destruction. And he says, the Moshe says, you have to bring a Makar, that every one of those Masos lasted only one day's journey. He says, I found a Makar. Which means that on Tisha B'Av, once again, it was a day of tragedy, of Jew against Jew and destruction. Why did that happen? Because we lost an Aaron HaKohen. We lost the Anani HaKavod that brought us all together. When we lose that Chaya, then we lose that ability to be able to be one people, to be able to continue our journey to Israel and to the Beis HaMikdash. That's for you. If you follow Rabbi Leff, then you know that he speaks everywhere. To every type of audience, every age group, whether it's a golden age group, whether it's young children, he speaks to people of all backgrounds, of all affiliations. He has this ability to mamish bring clients together. And when we started this event, it was many years ago, we asked for the Leff to come, and the Leff has been coming every single year since. And every one of these kenes we have Rabbi Leff, because Rabbi Leff is that koyach to be ma'aseh, to be ha'am, to be able to bring us together, to be able to be one. It doesn't matter where we are, it doesn't matter our level of learning, it doesn't matter where we come from, how we dress, what we say. Rabbi Leff allows us all to be a part of Klal Yisrael.
I didn't see anybody say this.
spoken about in the past that says that Gilei Arayos, that Lashon Hara is Keneged Gilei Arayos, because none of the Buddhism. We know Bais Rishon was destroyed for those three affairs, and the second place of English was destroyed because of Lashon Hara. I want to go out on a limb and say that Yishmael was not actually being over the Bodhisar or over the Sikha of Ogibirais. He was over Lashon Hara. What he said was, I'm better than you. Who do you think you are? And he goes out in the field and shoots arrows. The Chazal say, whenever you see arrows, it's talking about the Lashon. The Lashon is a chitz. And the reason it's compared to an arrow is because it goes a very far distance away. You're able to kill somebody from the safety of your own home without having to get involved in any messy encounters. Now that there are blocks, you're not going to have to leave your room. Just sit down there, type in a few things, and destroy your man's reputation all around the world. It's really quite tough. But that's the power of the Lashon. The Lashon is an arrow. You shoot it, you destroy, you kill. This was the kayach of Yishmael. Yishmael has the power of the kol. The Kodesh Baruch Hu hears his kol. Yishmael, Hashem will hear him. When we fight Esav, a kol Yaakov, you die with the Esav, it's a nice straightforward thing. He pulls out a sword, we pull out a safe him. We fight in a whole different way. When we fight Yishmael, it's a battle about who's going to daven better, who's going to use the Kodesh Hadid word better. Take a look today, no question about it. In the simple realm of the public arena, Yishmael's wiping the floor with us. Yishmael gets up, and they can say the most outrageous things. We went into Gaza and we had a very, very simple agenda. Don't shoot us. That's it. Don't shoot us. And to me, it sounds reasonable. Don't shoot us. We will get schmetted. They made human rights investigations. They attacked us left and right, but they didn't say about us. So Shmuel knows how to use their words better than we do. Maybe it's me can add it either, because if we were careful with our words the way we're supposed to be. And I don't just mean by Lashon Hara, I'm talking about the way we speak. The disdain, the way we dismiss people. I heard from Rabbi Lev, it was on the Tisha B'Av morning, I don't know how many years ago it was. I remember he said, so today, you know who's the biggest guy? The biggest guy is going to be Mavato to most people. And the more people be Mavato, the bigger you are. This guy is it true? Don't we hear people say the most destructive things? And so, this evening is dedicated not to don't speak Russian hope. That's not the main thrust of this evening. The thrust of this evening is how we use the Koach HaDibur to be able to create olamas. Baruch She'amad HaHayah HaOlam. How we can use our power of speech to transform relationships, how we can transform communities, how we can transform worlds, for good or for bad. We can get up and say something and suddenly we're filling up because we want people not to shoot at us. You can go over and say something nice to somebody and mamish change their life. Mamish change their life. I was driving on a break home. And he said to you, I think this story is years old. And he said to me, do you remember that you took your wife out to eat off the square? About 10 years ago. I said, look, I'm cheap, but I can't tell you, I remember every time I ever took my wife out. I'm like, no, it happened once every 10 years. I took her out to eat a number of times. She said, one time you were there, and there was a waitress who was studying in Hebrew University. I said, okay, I remember this. And you and your wife struck up a conversation. And you invited me out to times. Do you remember this? I said, yeah. He says, you tore off a piece of the placemat and wrote down your name, address, and phone number. I said, well, I do that all the time. That's what I usually do. He opens up his wallet and takes out the pen. He says, that's my wallet. I said, she had a cake. No. She said, that's not the point. She was so inspired that this made her go and look more into things, and that's how she changed her life. The same week, because it's a good girl who puts these stories together because he knows about memory shot. The same week, I get a call from an Israeli woman. Shalom for the Rav. You know? Do you remember me? No? No, I really don't. Do you remember we were on an LL flight from Nashville, New York, 8 years ago? Sure. I'm sure. We still have a conversation. My father had this passed away. We were talking about it. Do you remember you invited me for Shabbos? Yes. Very often we'll do that. You know? Since you took off a piece of the placemat from your special course of meal and wrote down your name, address, and phone number, and you gave it to me, I said, okay. So she said, I was so inspired by that I decided to become a chazer of tshuva. And now I had a question I needed a rabbi, and I still have that pendant in my wallet. And so I have to call you up to answer the question. I told the story over years ago, and I said, what do you learn from this? Someone said, you should buy business cards. Where is this place at? I said, okay, that's one thing. I said, well, what else do you see from this? I have to tell you, this is not the only time two times I've done this. I've done this dozens of times. I don't know if I've done it hundreds of times, certainly dozens of times. I'll say this to I'll meet somebody, and I'll write down, come for a chance. I have no idea how many times those customers are throwing the garbage with the way out. And how many times have they folded up and stuck into a wallet? Waiting a few years. You don't know every time you say something nice to somebody, how it affects them or whatever. And that's what we're here for this evening. We're here this evening to be able to appreciate the power that we have to be able to affect the world, to be able to change things with the power of speech. Not so much avoiding what's in power, but understanding shmiras halosha. Without saying debilitating statements and statements that take away people's cover and statements that cut people down. And so, as you always point out, this evening has been put together by somebody who wishes to remain anonymous, and on his behalf, I want to thank the shul for allowing us to host this event. And the Torah study committee and all the people who are involved, you know, in making this happen. It's a tremendous chus for the shul, for the community, for everybody to be able to have this opportunity. And I do what I do best, which is stand up and get credit for things that I do. And that's why I travel the world speaking about Chinuch, because it's a lot easier to stay home than actually doing it. And I take credit for any successes that my wife manages to take care of in my absence. this is what I do. Someone says, you did such a wonderful job with your children. I said, stay out of the way. Isn't that something too? And I just want to know how to do that. So that being the case, the first speaker that we're going to have this evening is a tremendous schus for us and for me personally. Almost all the time I get to introduce people that I have been supposed to be able to have a personal connection with over the years. And Rabbi Foyer, who was Rabbi Muncie for many years, and Miami Beach before that, and now is Rabbi Rechavia. And, he was my brother's Rav, and I had this chus whenever he came into America to be able to get a seat with him, to be able to get hadracha, to be able to get etza, and inspiration. And I thought it so appropriate because I can list all of the many accomplishments and publications and everything, all the sparring that Rabbi Foyer has written, but I just thought what inspired me for the words that I had to say this evening was the fact that, of course, Rabbi Foyer is the one who put out the Rosh Hashanah, because he understood the kayak that we have in our words to be able to create the power of the visiting the attention.